It's going to be a great day. That's good enough, Brother Jesse. Go tell him, man. Come on, tell him it's going to be a great day. How many people did you tell? Did you tell three people, or you need to tell more than that? I'll do that with her. Everybody sing that with her. 1, 2, 3, and. All right, that's real easy. It's everybody say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And look at somebody and say, thing, I told you to praise the Lord. Amen. Say, it didn't say let every crazy person praise God. It said let everything praise the Lord. That means the chairs. Amen. So I'm going to get a little stick, and I'm going to look around the room, and anybody that does not praise the Lord, I'm going to hit you with that stick. Is that all right? So everybody say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Turn around to the person behind you and say, praise the Lord. Look at somebody on the side of you and say, praise the Lord. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. 134. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Finish your bind night in the house of the Lord. Sing it again. Praise the Lord, all you servants. Who finish your bind night? Who finish your bind night in the house of the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Finish your bind night in the house.
All right. 533.
Just a little bit. Who can read? Anybody literate this morning? Dean, why don't you get your Bible, open it up, and get Psalm chapter 150 for us?
Praise the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord.
Come on up here when you get it.
Praise the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who minister by night.
Read that for us. Psalm 150. Turn on all the lights so they can read it if they want to look along with them.
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with a tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with a clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody say it's good to praise God, isn't it? How many of you love Jesus with all of your heart? About the Lord. He's so good, isn't He?
His name's
request this morning, why don't you find yourself, if you got a prayer request, why don't you just put your hand up? You can pray over anything, and God's people will help you. Find yourself a prayer partner. Why don't you just find somebody? Whether you know it or not, everybody needs prayer. Thank you.
have a couple of visitors with us. We just want to welcome you this morning and to remind some of our current members and also to let you visitors know we have several opportunities throughout the week that you can get here and hear the Word of God and keep up underneath that and just getting it down on the inside of you so that you'll be able to walk this walk in life a little bit easier. We have a meeting this evening at 7 o'clock. Wednesday, we meet at 8 o'clock. Friday morning, we have our Watering Words Seed, which is an awesome Bible study. We meet at Sister Billy Coon's house here, and we do have directions on the website. If you have a computer, you can just print that out, or if you don't, just see one of us, and we'll get you directions on how to get there. And Friday night is our Holy Ghost night, and we're here at 8 o'clock, and it's just an awesome time to just see what God does. Each service is a little bit different. For the parents of the children, I'm passing out flyers. We have an outing coming up in 2 weeks on Saturday. That's the 27th. We're going to the zoo. And the church picnic is May 19th, and this next week I will be getting flyers out to everybody with all the details and starting to get folks signed up. It's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be even bigger than we did last year. We've got North Shore Park reserved, and we've got all kinds of fun things planned. Pardon? It's a Sunday, May 19th, and we also reserved it so we can have our Sunday night service out there following the picnic. So it's going to be a great time.
Well, praise God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How many of y'all ready to go for it, eh?
Amen.
Eh? Y'all got to understand, I'm from up there. We use words like, eh? Eh? Come on. All right. No, that's Chicago. Everybody, who's got a Bible this morning? Anybody got a Bible this morning? Good to see Derek in church. Somebody say thank God for that. I tell you what, let's all pray. Everybody act like you're happy. Somebody say, fake it. Fake it till you make it. Amen. Somebody's dog got run over this morning. Amen. It wasn't mine. Hallelujah. Who lost their dog this morning? Well, put a smile on your face. If your dog didn't die, your cat didn't die. Amen.
Amen.
You're still alive. Amen. Anybody got a migraine? Nobody's got a migraine. Amen. So somebody said,
that's worthy
of a big smile. So fake it till you make it. All right. Acts chapter 1. We got a lot of stuff to do, don't we? But we can do it. Acts chapter... How many believe the Bible
is
supernatural and it will help us out? How many of you love church? I like church.
Amen.
I like church a lot. I'm going to take this jacket off. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have a lot of white shirts up there. Let's pray this is one that's not wrinkled. Amen. We can all deal with it if it is, right? Somebody say amen. My wife left me this week. No, I never had one. Amen. Sometimes that doesn't work either. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Get this thing out of here. We're going through some books of the Bible. It's good just to do that, just to stay in the Word. We got the summer months coming up. We want to accomplish some things over the summer. When you live in a blessed community, summers are weird times. The only one that's here, well, we're not going to speak that. Visitors come in the summer, but our people are a little bit blessed the way they get to travel. And I tell you what, this is the most vacationing group I've ever seen in my life. But it's still good. So during the summer, we want to be going through some scriptures and getting ready for what God wants us to do. And the church is a wonderful supernatural place. It's just not a clubhouse. And I think if we just looked at the book of Acts, we'll have a good time this summer. What do you think? If we just take our time and get there, and we're about ready to do some things here in the church, and we can see how, if we're a little bit close to that early church, because there are so many churches out there and so many things going on, and how do you know whether what you got is the right thing, you know, or whether you're safe or whether you're healthy? You know, is it real? You know, all this kind of music we sing, is that all right? Why do we worship the way that we worship? Why do we have the kind of government that we have? Why do we raise our hands? What's all that about? Why are people dancing around looking all crazy? Why are they speaking in tongues? You know, we're going to look at the book of Acts and find out what the early church, the first church, was like. Isn't that good?
Yes,
so I want to study, and we're going to show some things. Somebody say, for church growth. We want the house of God to grow, but we want it to grow God's way. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We want it the best way. We can take our time and do it God's way. We just don't want a crowd. Amen? Amen. We want good people. And if we want to talk about something, the thing I thought about, if we had something to say to people out there, if you want to say something about Nation Church, we want you to come. And you know, we can't just say you got to come and go to church, because there's a bunch of churches here in town, and just about all of them are fantastic, right? So how do you choose the church? First of all, you let the Holy Spirit lead you, right? And the Holy Ghost leads you, and hopefully we're not the only one teaching the Word, right? Hopefully there's a bunch of people teaching the Word, and they're about, maybe in our city alone, in this town called the Woodland, there's about 10,000 people in church maybe this morning. Right? And the Word of God is going forward. And how do you know whether you're in the right place? You know what we figured out with Nations Church, what our thing is? Our thing is, come and enjoy life with us. That's what church is really all about. It's all about knowing God, feeling the presence of the Holy Ghost, and having a place of ministry where you can minister. You come and you learn about ministry. You get accountability and all that stuff. You get fed. You get ministered to. But the root of a body, the root of a church really is, somebody say, come and enjoy life with us. You got to be able, you can't just go to a church and get part of it. I've learned that, you know, we've been here for a little bit, but I've learned people that get part-time stuff, they don't hang. You know what I'm saying? I just like the music, you know. Can't stand the teaching, you know, they don't hang. You know what I'm saying? I just like to hang with people, but I can't take all that singing and I can't take all, you got to be able to get it all. Somebody say amen. And we're going to find out that there's some things in the church that we want to get, and several things that I found by the Spirit of God in reading the book of Acts and going through the book of Acts, and we're just going to try to tackle. Somebody say try. We'll probably get there. We'll probably get around verse 5 of chapter 1, but I had high ambitions. When I get in that office and do stuff, I get very ambitious. I say, we're going to get to Acts, the end of Acts chapter 2. Whoa. You know, and now I just got into it. I didn't even start teaching. I said, we ain't going to get there. But I've got a couple chapters there. Maybe we'll do Acts 2 tonight, but we can start with one. Or maybe we'll go fast and get it all done. But I want you to write something. So you got to take notes so you can see things. And I want you to see the Holy Spirit in this. All right? There are several things that I want to prove to you. And I want you to see steps to effective church, to where a church really gets booming. One, write this down. The command of God. Two, obedience to wait. And if you skip any of these steps, you're not building a solid word. Three, obedience to wait. Obedience to wait. Three, a season of prayer. Four, exchanging brass for gold. Five, after you do all those things, these are all steps. After you get to that point, guess what happens? You get an endowment of power. After the endowment of power, you're going to learn that God gives more than what you expect. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Then after that, you can go on and get what you expect. I say specific ministry. After specific ministry, baptism. Somebody say baptismal service. My good Baptist friend Rex over here is real happy when he hears that. Somebody say amen. Everybody say continuance after baptismal service. Or in that continuance, somebody say fellowship with the redeemed. After that fellowship, second step is reverential fear. We don't have too much of that in the church today. Amen. After reverential fear, something else should be added to the church that we don't see is this: signs and wonders. We're going to cover all these things. After signs and wonders, definitely a higher fellowship commitment. And I guess just got to get basic. When I read this stuff, I got to get real blunt. And after a higher fellowship commitment, guess what you get? Increased cash flow. Praise you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank God for that. And you're going to find out after you get increased cash flow, favor with the community. You think it goes the other way, favor with the community, then cash flow? No, cash flow first, then favor with the community. Everybody likes you when you got a little bit of money, amen? Okay, then the last thing is a supernatural thing that we can see. And I believe it's happening in our city right now. We've got to acknowledge God. It's already happening. It's a supernatural thing in prayer. And that's the Lord daily began to add to the church. After all of these steps are completed, God gives. Everybody say, God gives the increase. And if you want to see that happening, that is happening with one of our fellow churches here in the community. It's not an increase of commercials. It's not because somebody's so talented or can preach so good. Right now in our community, Lakewood Church is doing something, or God is doing something at Lakewood Church that is unprecedented. It's miraculous, unheard of. In our country, you know, and just to see God add daily to the church. You know, a church of that magnitude, doubling its size in 4 years with no increase of hardly anything, is miraculous. And we look at that and we believe God. Before Pastor Osteen died, the prophecy, he was a prophet of God, and he gave a prophecy to the body. He said there will be 7 years of increase. 7 years of increase God's going to give us. And that's what he was trying to hold on to, see that 7 years of increase. And right as they were getting into that 7 years of increase, Pastor Osteen goes on to be with God. Immediately after that, things started to happen, and God's been giving them the increase that he promised. But I believe that in their case, they follow all these steps. I believe the second chapter, the church in the book of Acts followed these steps, and God did it. You can't skip any steps. You got to do them all. And we want to see those steps so that we can walk in light of the Word of God with faith and confidence. Amen? Everybody say patience to perfection. So the first thing, we want to look at the book of Acts chapter 1. The former treaties have I made unto thee, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which he was taken up, until the day that he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Notice that we said the first thing, if you want to see God do something, is, somebody say, commandment. That's the beginning of the church. The Word of God is the beginning of the church. It's not when people got together and say, hey, let's form a board, let's form this, let's just get together. If you want to see God do something, when a church begins, it begins at the command. Somebody say, the command of God. God has a desire, God has a will, God has a purpose. He spoke his word, and within that will, within that command, within that purpose, is power to fulfill what God wants done. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So there's your verse for that first thing that I told you, is that the command of God, whom he had chosen 12 apostles, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Stages. Everybody say stages. Whenever you see the number 40 in Scripture, anybody 40 years old? Don't lie. Amen. Well, and whenever you see the number 40 in Scripture, you get those things. 40 always represents a season of testing and tries. You know, it represents a wilderness experience where God's trying to take you from one place to get you to another place. Amen. Notice that before the church even started, somebody sowed some 40. Everybody say 40. Notice that before God, and I want you to notice that before your miracle starts, God will first give you the word, and right after the word, you know, they got with Jesus, they worked and walked around with Jesus for three years, seeing all the great things he did and all that other stuff. Then that was a great season, wasn't it? And they experienced it. Not, you know, he just ministered to the multitude, but there was a higher level that God wanted to give. And then all of a sudden, then Jesus is crucified, and he raises from the dead. Somebody say, amen. But they had to walk with him and know him. And Jesus gave, did you know that Jesus gave the disciples 40 days after his death and resurrection that he ministered? They had a 40 days with glory. They had 40 days of glory with Jesus. Did you know that was in the Word? After Jesus was taken up, and you know, after Jesus died and rose again, he came back and he walked among the earth. Do you see that there in Scripture? For 40 days, he had another lesson. He said, you're going to take the advanced course. Amen. Christianity 105. So with 40 days, somebody say 40 days. 40 days.
In every ministry, we go through 40 days. Before the church even started, they went through those 40 days where God was teaching them things concerning the kingdom of God. God took them up to a higher place. Somebody say amen. And in that 40 days, if you can look at it right now, he gave them commands. And he said, listen, and being assembled together, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. There are seasons and times with God. There are timings with God. And in ministry, we started our ministry about 5 years ago. And there's a time and a season for everything. And there's a time when God says, you just get there and I just want you to hang out with a small group of people. And I want you to get to know them. I don't care if it takes you 7 or 8 years. Y'all just get to fellowship. You won't miss anything. Just get in the fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Get in fellowship with the Spirit of God. Amen. But when the time is right, I'm going to tell you to go someplace. I'm going to say, and wait. There is a waiting period. We got words from God. Anybody remember that season where God just said, hey, wait a minute, hold on. Right after something happened around town and God gave us a command. He said, don't do anything. You just stop and wait. Don't worry about this fast growth stuff. You just stop and wait on God. Get in prayer. So we say the waiting period. We can't be afraid to wait on God and to get into prayer. Okay? And they were to go and to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can get in fellowship with God. You can hang out with the essence of Jesus Christ. But there's something when the Holy Ghost comes to live and abide on the inside of you. Now, when they therefore were come together, they answered him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? It's the same thing. Are you going to hook Israel up and make everything all right? He said, look, and it's not for you to know the times of the season which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. There's a revelation there. Does anybody want that revelation? Everybody knows what was going on in the with Israel at that point in time. They were, you know, under Roman rule and all this other stuff. It was just a mess, and they wanted to get out of trouble. Kind of the same situation they're in right now. There's always trouble with those children sometimes. You know, they want their own land. They want to come out and they want to be free. Going on 2,000 years ago. They said, God, are you going to work out this situation? They're still rolling through it because Jesus is the answer. Amen. He said, you know what? When are you going to give Israel that land? It's in God's hands. It's the same thing. You know, Bush can't do it. I can't do it. You know, Arafat, none of them can do it. It's in God's power when he'll redeem those people. And it's not going to be done. And with all these other things, it's going to be done with the hand of the Lord and the power of God. But this is what they were asking back then. Are you come to restore again Israel? Are you come to hook this stuff up and be the big Messiah? He said, listen, don't worry about that. That's in God's hands. Amen. Because Israel wanted authority. And authority means power. Everybody say that. That's what he said, listen, are you going to restore Israel to authority where we can be the top dogs again? Are you going to do all this other stuff? Hey, look, that's in God's hand. But as for you, notice this here in Scripture. Don't worry about that. But as for you, those of you that hear my word and do this thing, he said, but ye shall receive power or authority after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That thing that Israel's trying to get and trying to do, glory to God. Guess what happens? When you get full of the Holy Ghost, you get what God was trying to give them right away. Amen. Someone say, you shall receive power. Glory to God. He wasn't changing the subject. He stayed right on the subject. Many times people don't read the word of God with insight. They read and it makes the Bible sound like God was schizophrenic when he was talking to people. Always jump. You ever talk to people, all of a sudden you're talking about one thing, they jump over here and jump over there. He wasn't jumping around. He said, listen, what they're trying to get, that I will do that in my time. I will do that in my power. Amen. But you will have authority. Somebody say, you won't be in bondage. Somebody say, glory to God. Then we can see how the church came out of things that those children weren't able to come out of. That they came out of, you know, they came out of a bondage and they began to rule the world. The Christian faith has grown so quickly. Why? Because God gave them authority because of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, hallelujah. Are we getting anything this morning? I'll try to make it quick. And I also know that we're not going to get to chapter 2. Amen? Now listen. He said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be. Somebody say, you shall be my witnesses. Now, we know this whole covenant. Why does God, people, Brother Dean and different people ask me, what is this thing with Israel? What is this thing with Israel? And everybody's so afraid because they're God's chosen people. They have a commandment with God. Well, why were they chosen of God? Why were they chosen of God? They were chosen of God. Why? God wanted to use that race of people or that family, amen, to be witnesses. They were to give God to the world. That's what their assignment is. It's not that he just loves Jews because of their blood or whatever else it is. He cut a covenant with their father Abraham, amen, and said, y'all are going to present God to the world. Amen. And I'm going, and as long, see, you got to understand, it's not with flesh and blood, it's with the power, it's with the assignment that makes the difference. If they would receive, oh, people don't want to hear, we've got to talk the gospel of Jesus Christ and preach it the way it needs to be preached and get out of all this mess. The issue is Jesus Christ. The issue is God. The only way to the Father is by Jesus Christ. But the day will come when they will realize that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And that day, there will be revival in the nation of Israel. And that day, God will bring them up when they find out who they're called to be and why they're a Jew. Somebody say amen. They're a Jew to represent God, their Father. And no man can come to the Father but by Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, somebody say glory to God. He said, listen, it's in my power. They're going to have their thing. They're going to do their thing. Amen. But in the meantime, I'll raise up somebody someplace else. Glory to God. And I'll give them power and authority. He said, that's in my time. When I do that thing, that's in me. They shall be saved. Somebody say, glory to God. You pray for the peace of Israel. You pray for the peace of Israel, but don't put in your own power. The word of God says that nation shall be saved. Amen. He can do it because they've got a covenant with God. But in the meantime, right here, somebody say, the church's responsibility. He said, you go to Jerusalem right now and you pick up this assignment. Amen. And I will give you the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, thank God. Thank God. See, the children of Israel, the Jews and the children of Israel were meant to be the people that house the presence of God. They were the resident and ambassador. Wherever they went, they carried the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. And that Ark of the Covenant represented what? It represented the presence of God. They were priests to the world to give us God. But when they rejected Jesus Christ, oh Lord, where are we going this morning? You know, we're talking, you know, but when they rejected Jesus Christ, amen, at that point they forfeited temporarily their assignments to be his representatives. So he gave that power right here. He said, listen, he said, you go to Jerusalem, you wait, amen, and you'll be endowed, you'll be endowed with power by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And at that present, then I tell you what, we're not dragging around some big ark anywhere, amen? Amen. It's better covenant. Somebody say a better covenant. Better covenant. We have the Holy Ghost abiding on the inside of us. I tell you what, when you get the authority that God gives you, amen, you'll come out of bondage and you'll be what God wants you to be. Somebody say, it's talking about restoration. That's what it's all about. Are you seeing that? Has anybody ever seen that? Are you seeing that there in the Word? He said, listen, he said, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but, somebody say, but ye shall receive power. They said, what about Israel? He said, don't worry about that. That's in my power. But you can. You'll have power. Amen. You will have power after. Somebody say, after. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So they thought God had to use them to do everything. Somebody say, amen. You're going to notice that right there in the book of Acts, the second chapter of Acts, what God wanted to use the Jews to did, those very apostles did it. God called Abraham's seed and all those people to tell the world about God and to present God to them. And notice that when the church got full of the Holy Ghost, that every nation under the sun was represented there, and they were able to tell the world, this is God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what church is all about. Now, we didn't mean to go this deep and everything. This is what nation's church is all about. Somebody say, that's our beginning. Nation's church didn't start 5 years ago. Catholic church, no church started 5 years ago. It started when God gave commandment and said, you shall be my witnesses. Somebody say, glory to God. That's when it started. Now listen, and you shall be my witness in all these places and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, While they beheld, he was taken up. Somebody say, taken up. I like this. And he was taken up, and a cloud received him. Somebody say, he was taken out of there. A cloud received him. But what I like about this, he was taken up where? Where was he taken?
Heaven.
Said a cloud received him, but where was he taken? He was taken out of their what? Sight. Some say glory to God. That's a revelation. He was taken out of their physical sight. Now notice that before then he was ministering to them for a season, for 40 days. He was not ministering to them, you know, just by his spirit, but he was there physically. He was there in business. He was teaching them and working with them. He said, "Now I'm working with you on this realm." They could see him. And as he was teaching, then all of a sudden he changed dimensions right there. Amen. And he was taken out of their sight. Somebody say, thank God. He was taken out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven. You're going to find out that this is where they missed it just a little bit. What did Jesus tell them? What was the command he gave them? Go where? Get over to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem and wait. All of a sudden, Jesus was with them, and then all of a sudden, he gets taken out of their sight, and they all stand up there doing this. He told them, go over here, and they're too busy looking to heaven, looking where he went up. Do you know there the most of the body of Christ today, most churches today, instead of them going where God told them to go to get them, amen, they're still looking up for heaven, looking up to heaven. One day, the rapture's going to happen. Jesus is going to come down. One day he's going to come down. Everything, oh, sweet, all the songs they sing about it. I'm going to heaven. I believe in heaven. Amen? Amen. I'm going to heaven. Don't have a choice. God loves me. Amen? I'm living that way. Amen? Somebody, he's got that taken care of. But, you know, there's a day, and that's in God's own power. He's going to pick me up. He knows exactly where I'm at. And I don't need to sit on a street corner waiting for him to show up. In the meantime, I've got stuff to do. I've got to obey the command. And what happened, he was taken up to heaven, and it shows us that we should not have that mindset where they're sitting there gazing into heaven. Amen. Met people like that, not doing anything, but all they're doing is just gazing into heaven, and God had to help them out a little bit. So many times we're just so awestruck just gazing that we forget to do what God told us to do. You want to say amen? And they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why are you standing, gazing, looking up into heaven? What are you looking up there for? What are y'all doing? Isn't that a shame? Didn't you hear what the man just told you? Go to Jerusalem. What are we going to do now? Amen. That's the way so many people are right now. That's the way so many churches are right now. They haven't gone to the upper room to get baptized with power. They just skipped that whole step. Nobody wants to go to the upper room. They all want to look to heaven and have him show up. But I tell you what, he wants to show up in you first. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's all them songs they're singing. Train or ride, or whatever songs it is out there. Amen. You know, one glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Not when he wants you to do something here. To that land where joy will never cease, I'll fly away. People spend 90 and 50 years of their life waiting to fly away when God's got them there to do something. So I say, you're on assignment. He said, go to Jerusalem, be endued with power, and you shall be witnesses. Amen. And so many people don't want to be a witness. Amen. They just want to witness him coming in the sky. No, he wants you to be a witness to the world. Amen. Amen. So say, get your eyes out of there. Amen. Get it down where God wants you to be. Amen. And they said, and behold, two men said, why ye men again stand ye gazing into heaven? Someone say, this same Jesus. So they were looking into heaven and saying, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what, there's a scripture in the Bible that I kind of run over my head, and I can run over it as much as I want to. It's my head. Amen. You remember when Jesus said, some of you shall not taste death until you see the Son of Man coming in glory and power? Remember he said that to the disciples? I think them boys are dead. Was he lying? I believe they saw him come in power and glory. I don't believe he was not necessarily talking. We know that he's coming in the rapture, but I believe he was talking about the upper room. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. I believe he was talking about the upper room. He said this same Jesus. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. Somebody said, then they got on the business. Many people aren't going to get, stop looking up in the sky and doing nothing, and go to the upper room to get power to do what God wants them to do, amen, until they stop looking up there. They return unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olive, called Olive, which is the form Jerusalem on a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went in up into the upper room and abode with Peter, James, and all these people, and they all did what? Continued in prayer. God wants us all to get to the place of prayer. And as they prayed, somebody say they prayed, they got to the point where they had to get rid of Judas. Somebody say, thank God for that. Judas was done away with. They had to fill up the spot that Judas messed up. Amen. And so they replaced Judas. They got on the business. Amen. And they got themselves taken care of. I was going to do a little teaching on that. I'm going to skip it. Somebody say, thank God for that. He's not going to talk about Judas today. And after they replaced Judas, then we get to the second chapter of Acts, and we're going to have to cover that tonight. Somebody say, what happens when they stop looking at the sky, amen, and went on and did what God told them to do? The first commandment was, listen, in my name, in Mark chapter, there's the last chapter of Mark, Jesus gave us the Great Commission. That was the big commandment. But the first step to the Great Commission is what? Go to Jerusalem and wait until you're endued with power. Amen. You're not going to be able to fulfill the 16th chapter of Mark, until you go to the upper room and get endowed with power. Amen. That's how you become truly the seed. Amen. That's how you become, he said, he's granted. That's why the Holy Spirit is so powerful, because it puts us in the place as represented. It gives us power to be what God designed us to be and wants to get done. Somebody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Did y'all get anything out of that this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got something out of that this morning. Somebody say, that's a good thing. Yes, Billy's reminding me we need to take an offering. Somebody say, thank God. Oh, when Tommy's got his checkout book out, we definitely going to take an offering. Somebody say, amen. That doesn't happen too often. No, I'm joking. No, it's good. Somebody say, it's good to sow. We want everybody to sow very, very well. Amen. We got a lot to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise God. Sow really well, and we won't have candlelight service next Sunday. Hallelujah. Somebody say, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Y'all don't mind us studying the book of Acts on Sunday morning, do you? Think we'll get something out of it, huh? And God is, I was just praying to God, saying, God, can't we just teach a little bit of what's going on in the world to a contemporary, you know, issues kind of message? Teach the book of Acts. Okay. And then all of a sudden, as we teach what God wants us to teach, we get a little bit of history to that too. Somebody say, thank God.
Thank God.
Somebody say, I have authority and power because I've got the Holy Spirit. Tonight we're going to be teaching Acts chapter 2. Don't miss it just because you've heard it before. Hallelujah. Father God, why don't you stand right where you are? Amen. David's in the hospital. We need to pray for David. Jane Ellen is going into surgery tomorrow. Jesse. Jane Ellen, Jesse's daughter, is going into surgery. She broke her nose, and I guess they're going to do something, right? Y'all remember the last picnic that we had? She mouthed off at the Easter Bunny and got her nose broke.
And no, but she broke her nose out there, and she's going in to get something. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, it's good to sow. If you want to look at why it's good to sow, you give, it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together. Amen. We want you to know straight up, this is what your seed is going for. We're about to enter into a campaign that's going to help the house out. Amen. It'll be better for everybody once we get it done. And I'm getting my faith up to get it done. And once we get it done, hallelujah. Boy, we're going to be looking good. But until then, somebody say amen. Amen. Until then, we need this body. Amen. To hold things together for about 2 to 3 months. Amen. Amen. And you can do that. You just, somebody say kick in. Kick in a little extra. Just kick in. No, kick in a lot extra. Amen. Kick in as much as you can because it's really necessary. Then after that, we'll definitely be all right. Amen. Amen. And we won't be doing that. We won't have to do that hardly anymore. Somebody say praise God. But until then, wear it out. Amen. Father, we thank you for wonderful people. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for Nations Church. We thank you for every visitor gathered in this place today. Lord, we thank you for friends. We thank you for those that have been out that you've allowed to come back. Lord, we thank you for new converts in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that they're full of the Spirit of God and have a mindset to stay with you. Lord, we also bless Beth and her mom that are in Florida right now in Jesus' name. Father God, protect them and cover them. Father God, and set them up and do what you want to do in their life. Help them. Father, we also ask you to bless this offering and multiply this seed 1,000 times over in Jesus' name. Father God, as we are able to take care of the necessary things here in this building, Father God, we pray that you'll be taking care of their situations, Father God. We pray over their homes, Father God, their finances. And Father God, I'm believing you to bring every single last one of them out of debt completely. Give them the mindset to visualize, Father God, financial freedom. Father God, we speak over house nets and notes, and we tell it to be paid. Get our faith up to get those things taken care of, Father God, that we're under bondage by no means. We thank you for all the new jobs that you granted to your people, Father God. Thank you for that, Father. That's your work, Father God, an economy like this, to have a house, to have a body working. We give you praise, and we give that glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Come on up and sow and give somebody a hug as you're sowing, and meet us back here tonight at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, meet us back here. And love somebody. Don't just run out the door. Have a cup of coffee. You know, that's a biblical thing. You know that the Bible tells us to do that. We're going to find out that tonight. That Easter bunny stepped on your foot too? Put on some good music. Now, I might be out of church next week. James Brown is in town. No, I'm joking.